Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
It's about damn time.
It's Thursday night and time for the hot corner.
There are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary and there are 108 stitches in a baseball.
Your home for all things MLB.
Suck one out of the park for me.
The Reds, the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the White Sox.
I love baseball.
The Balance has you covered with a hot corner.
Watch where you're walking, guys. I don't want you to step in the crap I just knocked out of that ball, huh?
News, rumors, and fantasy, it's all in the hot corner.
Baseball, it's the best.
And here is your host, Tom Marquis.
Y'all ready for this?
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
All right, my minions, welcome to the Hot Corner. We do this every Thursday night. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. You know me from the host on Saturday morning of The Balance that brings you the Hot Corner every Thursday. Of course, on Balance every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11, we talk everything sports, and this Saturday will be no different as we'll break down all the training camps going on around the NFL, a little bit of racing. No smoke left in Tony Stewart. But today is the day we talk about baseball, and we got a lot of baseball to talk about. Obviously, if you've not heard enough, talked about enough, and about ready to puke A-Rod, we're going to talk just a little bit more to get your gag reflexes going just a little bit more. Also joining us here in just a few moments is Mr. Mark Timmons of L.A. Dodger Talk, going to be talking about the Dodgers. What? Cardinals, six runs in the second, blow out the Cardinals. Who the heck are these L.A. Dodgers? Where did they come from? And what do we do with them? And we're going to talk with Mark Timmons about that as well. And in the second half hour, we're going to be talking with Jeff Curtis. We're going to be breaking down some minor league action around the AAA action. Obviously out there at the Indianapolis Indians game tonight. So we're going to be talking a little bit to him as well. My digits 917-889-8516 if you want to connect with me or the great and marvelous Oz. Mr. Mark Timmons, how are you doing, sir?
Never better. How about you?
Never better, sir. I keep telling you, man, you need to trademark that that slogan, man. Put that on your Never Better LA Dodger Talk. Never better,
that's
which
right.
would be very, very appropriate now. I want to know, these Dodgers aren't the same Dodgers we talked about at the beginning of the season, and certainly aren't the same Dodgers that we were ready to throw away Don Mattingly, send him packing back to Indiana. I don't think that's going to happen. Dodgers plate six runs in the second and blow out the Cardinals. Well, first of all, what's going on with the Dodgers? Second of all, what's going on with the Cardinals? And L.A. Dodgers finished that game 13-4. The Cardinals have just been on a snowball effect in the wrong direction. A lot of people call it the Albert Pujols curse. I don't believe into that sort of stuff. But I tell you what, after two pitches, the Dodgers and the Cardinals were scrambling around. So as you look at that game and you look back and you look forward, what do you see, Mr. Mark Timmons?
Well, they knew Shelby Miller was pitching. They knew they had no chance, so they had to knock him out. So the second pitch, they did. You know, I mean, that was the only way. I mean, I love Shelby Miller. He's a great pitcher. He's going to be a great pitcher, and thankfully he hasn't been hurt really bad. I guess he's probably going to make his next start. So, you know, it's the Dodgers are just hot. I mean, you know, I was the one of the persons calling for Don Mattingly's head, but then they called up this dude, Yasiel Puig, and he just brought this enthusiasm. It was contagious. Everybody bought in. It was go for broke style. Then Hanley Ramirez came back, and he was hitting like a fiend. And I mean, they went from 12 games under 500 to 13 games over 500 in less than 6 weeks. I mean, what an incredible turnaround. I was in Washington, D.C., when they swept the Nationals, and I'm telling you something. I mean, sellouts there. I mean, they just went in and kicked the Nationals' butts. Same thing in St. Louis. I mean, they're in there beating them like rented mules, you know?
Like rented mules. And I tell you what, I guess, you know, you're right. You are one of the ones that was calling for the head of Don Mattingly. And probably weren't the only one doing so. But if you're going to get hot, I guess this is the time of year to get hot, especially since we're just really at the tail end of the season here, and we're really going to be getting close to some playoffs and wild card pictures and all of that stuff beginning to shape up. If you're going to get hot, now's the time to do it. But I guess, how do the Dodgers stay hot? Because what we look at in the National League, we look at a very hot team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and we've talked about them especially here on the show over the last couple of weeks. And certainly, we look at how the Cardinals have fell backwards a little bit, well, quite a bit, and certainly opening up the door and the gap expanding a little bit, especially when you bring in the Reds and now the Pirates. So the Dodgers have got to stay on this hot streak if they expect at all to make the playoffs, especially considering the horrendous start that they had.
Well, here's the thing. They've been doing it the last week or two, three, without Matt Kemp and without Hanley Ramirez for the last several days. I mean, you know, they're just stepping up. They're a bunch of junkyard dogs right now. They're stepping up, and they're just getting the job done. And whatever it takes, they're getting it done. You know, the Cardinals are going through a little – everybody goes through a slump, and the Cardinals are going through a slump. They'll get past it. I think this series is a preview of the NLCS. I really do. I like the Pirates, but I don't think I think they're going to wilt going down the stretch. I just do. They don't have the proven horses, and the Reds are going to be there too. I think. Of course, Dusty's known for having guys' arms fall off because he throws them too much. But you know, the Reds are going to be there. But I think the Cardinals are going to come. They're going to rise to the top. I think it's going to be between the Cardinals and the Dodgers in the NL. The Dodgers are very deep in arms. I mean, they've got like five more arms at AAA they can call up, guys that can throw 95 to 100 miles an hour. They signed Brian Wilson. He's about 10 days away. He's going to be – they say he's looking good. He was 8 pitches, 3 outs at Rancho, single A last night. So they have a lot of pitching depth. You know, Hanley Ramirez, I mean, Yasiel Puig was getting all the ink. Hanley Ramirez has been the hottest player in baseball the last 6 or 7 weeks. I mean, he has been hitting everything, and he's been hitting everything hard. And, you know, it was really unfortunate he injured his shoulder, but I guess it's not very bad. He's out of the sling, and he's resumed baseball activities. So, you know, they're just getting healthy at the right time. I mean, Carl Crawford's been injured most of the year. He was 4 for 5 last night. You know, they're stuntmen, Jerry Harrison, Puig or Punto, and Schumacher. They've been stepping up when they need them to. So it's just, I don't know. I was really disappointed earlier in the year, but they seem to really be growing into the team that they're supposed to be. And I think they're going to be a team to be reckoned with come October.
Well, absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you more. And I look at we're talking with Mark Timmons from LA Dodger Talk, and I look at your site here, LADodgerTalk.com, and we look at your article here that you just posted today. And this is a crazy game. Good article. I read that a little bit earlier today. But one of the things that stood out to me is you were talking about the piece that ESPN LA had on about the Dodgers clubhouse, and basically said it's a bunch of guys having a lot of fun, and that's a good thing. And I can tell you one thing, if you're a clubhouse and you weren't having fun and you're having fun now, that really can make a lot of difference.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, they seem to have good chemistry. You know, and it all goes back to Puig. I mean, he's a two-edged sword. I mean, you know, he gets on base, and I think he just basically runs till somebody throws him out, you know. He doesn't stop till somebody throws him out. And not many people throw him out, but I got to tell you, as raw as he is, I don't think I've ever seen a player with his talent level. I'm biased, I admit that, but I don't think I've ever seen a player with his talent level. I mean, he's a kind of a cross between Bo Jackson and Roberto Clemente. I mean, Roberto Clemente was smooth. Bo Jackson was just strong as a bull, and Puig is someplace in the middle there. I mean, some of the stuff that he does, it's like every game you say, man, how did he do that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, as we, and I want to get into this A-Rod talk here in just a minute too, because I've about had enough of it. I really am tired of talking about A-Rod, but that's what we do here on Thursday night. People depend on us to talk baseball, but you know what? We're going to talk about it. I will get to that here in just a minute, but I want to talk a little bit more about the National, especially the National League and the National League Central, and we look at that, how that shapes up. And as we, especially going in forward in October, really, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but I think, and maybe a lot of people will disagree with me, but I from time again, I have said this. This is where you make it. In the month of August is where you either make it or you don't make it. And we look at the National League. Here we go. Braves again. Right, you know, 15 have a 15-game lead. So we don't have to really worry about the National League East. But the National League Central, the biggest gap there, obviously, is between the Cardinals and Pittsburgh, which is 3.5 games back. Obviously, the Dodgers have a control over the West right now with 4.5 games. But if we look at the National League Central and the National League West, the biggest gap is 5 games, which is out there in the West with you, as far as between the Central and the West. So really, and I think people have said this all along, that the National League championship game will come out of the Central or the West. And you say that Pittsburgh doesn't have enough gas to make it. I hope not, because obviously being a diehard Cardinal fan and of course, the Reds are 7 games back. But we know that the Reds certainly have the ability to put some stuff together. Obviously not worried about the Cubs or the Brewers. But we look at the Dodgers, and the Diamondbacks are 5 games back. And we, again, could never outrule the Arizona Diamondbacks. But really, right there in the National League Championship, I would think our World Series contender is going to come out of the Central or the West. And I certainly will disagree with you on this, Mark, that I think Pittsburgh does have enough gas. They have enough gas called momentum.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for momentum, but there's also a lot to be said for experience. And they've just never been there. I mean, they've faltered the last 2 years. They've started good. They've faltered. And I'm kind of from Missouri. I mean, you just got to show me. It's future. And the Cardinals have a culture of winning. The Braves have a culture of winning. The Dodgers used to, and maybe they're getting it back. The Pirates don't. And that culture means everything. You know, the Reds, I don't know if they have one either. But the Cardinals do, and the Braves do. And the Dodgers do, or I hope they do. I could definitely tell you that of all the teams mentioned, the Cardinals have that culture of winning more than anybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've just got to say that, you know, I don't have anything against the Pirates. I just, you got to show me. I'm from Missouri.
Well,
not St. Louis, though.
You mean a lot like you guys showed the Cardinals yesterday? I think they got enough of this. Show me who the Dodgers are. I think they got enough of that. Hey, real quickly here, I do want to mention this. Matt Kemp, if you probably know this story because you follow the Dodgers so much, befriended a terminally ill kid by the name of Joshua Jones. And Joshua Jones just recently passed away. He was 19 years old. Talk with us a little bit about what you know about that friendship and that relationship between Matt Kemp and Joshua Jones.
Well, I mean, Matt, after a game, he heard he was there. He heard he was terminally ill, and he went over and gave him his shirt off his back, his gloves, his shoes.
Right.
I mean, Matt Kemp's a good dude. He's in a high pressure business. He's surrounded by celebrities, and you know, sometimes it's easy to lose yourself and all that. But you know, the Dodgers got a lot of good players on their team. I mean, Puig, I think, is a good guy, but he's a guy that is sitting on the fence right now. It depends on which direction he goes. He hangs around the wrong guys, he could be in trouble. And you know, I'm not saying that Jay-Z is the wrong guy to hang around with, but I wouldn't recommend that.
And I certainly also wouldn't, which is a good segue about who guys not to hang around with. Does A-Rod have such a complex, such an ego, such a does he really believe that he really has done no wrong? I want to say he has the Obama complex. I mean, he really has convinced himself, around with the people around him, he has done no wrong. I'm going to tell you one thing. The Major League Baseball don't suspend people for 211 games for nothing. The Major League Baseball League has, I think, sufficient evidence to show that Alex Rodriguez was cheating. And you know, here's the thing. He's going to end up walking into a lifetime suspension, and that's only happened a couple times in the MLB that I can remember.
Well, here's what I have to say about that. I've got a policy, and I've just stuck to it, decided I'm not going to deviate from it. And my policy is I'm not going to talk about A-hole or Lion Braun.
good policy to have, because I'm done hearing about it. I think maybe what's even more amazing to me, okay, we're going to suspend you, but if you appeal it, you get to continue to play. I guess that's the way I understand the rules, and maybe you got a different understanding of it, but the way I understand it, Mark, is that if you're suspended and you file a formal appeal, you can play during that appeal process. Am I right about that?
Yeah, he's going to play the rest of the year. You know, I mean, so I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to hear about it. You know, I'm sick of it, you know. I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm just tired of it.
Well, I agree with you. Couldn't agree with you more. So we'll let it go with that. But I wouldn't be surprised. One final thought. I wouldn't be surprised. He plays the rest of the year and then mysteriously announces a retirement. We'll see what happens. Alex Rodriguez, unbelievable.
A lot of money on the table for it to happen, though.
Sure, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about the American League and some of the games that are going on tonight. Obviously, we got the starting lineups. And again, we look at who's doing what. We look at over the American League. We talked a little bit about the National League. Obviously, the Braves have a very strong hold, as usual. Nothing new to see where the Braves are. I meant to say American League. The Braves have a strong lead on the National League East, but going to the American League East, Boston Red Sox only 2.5 games ahead of Tampa Bay, and there again between first and third place is only 6 games. That ground can easily be made up in the month of August.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a shootout. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, of course, Atlanta's won it. St. Louis is going to win it. And nobody's going to catch the Dodgers. You know, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they're playing over their heads. They're going to be lucky to finish 500. So, you know, if the Dodgers can win 29 out of their last 40 games, they're going to win it easily.
Well, let's look at the American League Central. Do the Tigers have another World Series in them? They're 6
yep.
games ahead of Cleveland.
I believe they do. I believe they're going to come out of there.
I look for Tampa Bay and Boston to go right down to the wire. I don't really don't have a favorite. And Oakland is going to be in there too. Well, the Rangers, you know.
Well, look who's still hanging around. Look who's still hanging around here. I wish I had pulled the sound bites, but from this very show, earlier on in the year, I said the team to look out for who could very well make it to the playoffs and do good is the Kansas City Royals. Look who's still hanging around at 8.5 games back, and that's the Kansas City Royals. Will they win the American League? No. But do they have an outside shot looking in at getting a wild card berth? Yeah. Kansas City Royals, what are your thoughts?
Well, here's the problem again. They just have no winning culture. And culture is hard to define. It's as hard to define as momentum, you know? I mean, you can kind of see momentum, but you can't really see culture. But I don't know. It's just something that's indoctrinated in the system, and the Royals just don't have that. I mean, you know, George Brett decides he's going to go out of the front office down on the field, then he's down there for a couple of weeks, and he goes back to the front office. I mean, I don't know. They just don't have – they don't have the mojo they need.
Well, how does a team like when we talk about the Royals, and we talk about the Pirates, and we talk about the culture? I agree with that. Certainly, the Cardinals have a greater culture of winning. But at some point, if they win enough games, they win enough games. So I guess the only way to get a winning culture is to win.
You know, some of the biggest problems, I think, with Pittsburgh and Kansas City is, if you dig right down to the core of it, I think their owners are tightwads, and they're not going to go that extra mile to win. And I think that's the bottom line. They have limited – maybe they're not tightwads. Maybe they just have limited resources, but they're not going to spend enough to win. And Tampa Bay is that way, and we know that Tampa Bay is that way, but I think sometimes Pittsburgh and Kansas City, we forget that they're that way, because Tampa Bay knows they're that way, and they just, you know, at the end of, they have a player for 5 years, and they get rid of him, you know, unless they can sign him like they did have Longoria and sign him early and keep him longer. But, you know, that's what happens with Kansas City. I mean, that's what's going to happen with Pittsburgh. They don't have deep enough pockets, and that's one of the problems with Major League Baseball not having a salary cap.
Well, if we were just to look at the – if you were to say, hey, I'm going to predict the World Series just based on the current situation, you'd have to examine Detroit and Atlanta doing it. I mean, you look at Atlanta's on 11-game – I mean, I'm sorry, Detroit's on 11-game winning streak right now, and the Braves are on a 13-game winning streak. So you look at those two teams possibly pulling out a World Series. That's not unrealistic. So if you look at Atlanta and Detroit World Series 2013, you think that's a realistic expectation?
Well, I think the problem they're going to have, Atlanta's going to have, is they have way too many strikeouts. In a short series, pitching is going to trump that. So I can see Atlanta getting swept in a short series because of their proclivity to strike out at a really high rate. You know, I'll go back to this. Even though I'm a Dodger fan, I'll say this. You've got Kershaw and Zach Greinke at the top of the rotation. In a 7-game series, it's hard to argue that they can't win 4 games.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm sorry. I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
Kershaw was just named the best pitcher in the National League by the general managers. And, you know, Greinke's in the top 5 or 6, you know. You know, in a short series, that means everything. If you got a good bullpen, watch out.
Well, we're talking with Mark Timmons from L.A. Dodger Talk here on the Hot Corner tonight. We've got just a few more minutes left with Mark. Obviously, Mark is a writer and owner of LADodgerTalk.com. I know you got a couple other writers on there. And check out his latest blog, This is a Crazy Game, out at LADodgerTalk.com. Mark, is there anything maybe we've left out, anything you want to talk about as far as maybe trade rumors go, anything that you might want to add to the conversation as far as anything at all that maybe we haven't covered tonight?
Well, I mean, I think there's going to be some people that cleared waivers. We heard Michael Young cleared waivers, so he's eligible to be traded any place. I think in the next few days we'll hear some other players that have cleared waivers, probably Cliff Lee, you know, and there could be a couple of moves before the end of the year. You never see coming, so – That's why I don't like to make predictions, because you just never know what's going to happen. But based upon what I see right now, if I were picking, I would say the World Series is going to be between the Dodgers and the Tigers.
The Dodgers and the Tigers. And are you just saying this because you're with LA Dodger Talk, or are you really think that they'll make it there? I think you got a good argument there. I mean, certainly.
Yes and yes.
I mean, obviously, I'm now concerned about the St. Louis Cardinals getting there. I think that you could possibly be wrong about the Pirates, but you know, hey, I'm a bandwagon fan, and I will admit that freely. Obviously, a big Indianapolis Indians fan. We're going to be talking with Jeff Kurtz in a minute, who's out at Indianapolis Indians tonight, covering the game for Examiner.com. So obviously, I've got some partisanship, I guess, toward the Pirates, but I think that the Pirates have some gas to make it through. That's for sure.
I'd love to see them win.
Absolutely. Mark Timmons of LA Dodger Talk. Mark, where can people find your work, your masterpiece, the stalk you find you wherever?
LADodgerTalk.com.
LA Dodger. You don't do the Twitter thing or anything like that, do you?
Yeah, I do, but I just don't have a lot of time, you know.
Just don't have a lot
of
time.
I'm on there, but yeah, it's Dodger Mark, but you know. Yep.
Well, all right, Mr. Mark Dodger. Mark Timmons of LA Dodger Talk. Buddy, we appreciate you joining us. Obviously, you're always welcome here, and I look forward to our conversations as we move forward into the postseason, sir.
Thanks, Tom. You're a great one. And I hope we beat you like rented mules again tonight.
I hope not. We'll put a little friendly off-the-mic wager on it, sir. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Mark Timmons, obviously the Dodgers playing my beloved Cardinals tonight. And last night, as he so eloquently put it, beat them like some rented mules. I love it. Mark Timmons, LA Dodger Talk, always a pleasure for him to join us. We're going to be back in just a few moments. We're talking baseball on the hot corner. We're going to be talking some minor leagues, some AAA action right around the corner, right here on the hot corner.
Now the major's called up, oh, what's his name? And one more building rises tall. And suddenly we're all grown up, and this old town's not quite so small. But I always miss the middle-sized town in the middle of the Middle West.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
My daddy left us. I was only 6 months older than you are now.
I don't remember him. You will remember me.
Jackie Robinson, a black man in white baseball.
I want you to know I'm there for you.
In my heart.
Think about the abuse that he's going to take.
Your enemy will be out in force, but you cannot meet him on his own low ground.
What you gonna do if one of these pitchers throws through your head?
I'll duck.
Mark my words, and circle this day. Negroes are gonna run the white man straight out of baseball.
This ain't the America I know. You hear me?
If they knew you, they would be ashamed.
If Robinson can help us win, then he is going to play on this ball club.
You don't belong here, and you never will.
Get off the field.
Brooklyn Dodgers ain't changing our way of living.
Where are we down?
You
are not the only one with something at stake here.
You want a player who doesn't have the guts to fight back?
No, I want a player who's got the guts not to fight back.
Give me a uniform. Give me a number on my back. I'll give you the guts.
I father, I Brooklyn Dodger them. I jack, I rob, I spin. Oh man, I'm Jackie Robinson. Except when I run base, I dodge the pen.
I'm just a ball player.
You are a hero.
Why don't you look in the mirror? This is a white man's game.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here.
I'm a Brooklyn boy. I may take some getting used to.
Maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42.
A treat for you, a sneak preview of the new three-act Broadway musical being written and directed by Yankee slugger Alex Rodriguez.
If it's baseball,
if it's baseball,
Tom Marcus is talking about it on The Balance.
Little roller up along first, behind the back, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
Now the pitch, there's a high drive, deep right, center, way back, might be out of here, it's off the wall, one run is in, two runs are in, a third man scores, and look at this score, way back, might be out of here,
hey!
He did it again! Holy cow! You're listening to The Hot Corner with your host, El Presidente, Tom Marquis. All right, my minions, welcome back to The Hot Corner, to the final half hour. We're rounding the bases. My name's Tom Marquis. I am your base coach for tonight, and we're rounding on into home plate. Thanks to Mr. Mark Timmons of L.A. Dodger Talk joining us and breaking it down. Some talk in the National League Central as we look forward to the playoff situation. Well, joining us now is Mr. Jeff Kurtz, who's out at Victory Field covering the Indianapolis Indians for and as well as I didn't want to say this just yet, but I know that you're out there covering the Indianapolis Indians. I have a tendency, Jeff, to read as I talk, and I realize I needed to slow down my talk. So at least you're out there covering the Indianapolis Indians. Jeff, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Tom. Thanks for having me on tonight. Good to talk to you.
Hey, good to have you, man. How was vacation, sir?
It was great. Needed a little time to kind of recharge the batteries and get ready for the full plate of sports over the next year. You know, as baseball heads into kind of the home stretch and in the playoffs, the National Football League season starts and actually started last weekend with the preseason Hall of Fame game and ramping up for that. And then we go into college and pro basketball. So it was good to have some downtime, but love talking sports and being part of your show as well.
Well, we love having you on, that's for sure, Jeff. And Jeff, we know very well that you cover a lot of sports and obviously author of the book, The Slant, the NFL Draft Guide, and we'll have you over on The Balance to talk a little bit more about that. Certainly, talking with you over there at Victory Field, talking about covering the Indianapolis Indians. Obviously, the Indianapolis Indians having a good season as well. But I want to talk just for a moment and keep it on the Major League topic for just a second. We look at them being the AAA affiliate for the Pittsburgh Pirates. How awesome is that to see, you know, some players anyway that we've seen out there at Victory Field be able to take the field out there as part of history-making Pittsburgh Pirates, in a lot of ways the hottest team in baseball right now. Certainly, who, if you would have asked me this 4, 5, 6 months ago, would the Pirates be number one in the National League Central, I would have said you're absolutely crazy. But guess what? I guess that whoever would have said that nailed it on the head. The Pittsburgh Pirates are having a heck of a season.
Yeah, the neat thing about having a minor league team is that you get to see the future stars, so to speak. And Pittsburgh has been down for a number of years now. It was back in the early 80s when they last had a winning record. So you can see the resurgence. They've built a nice pipeline of talent. They have contended up until about the midway point the last two seasons, and then they've really stumbled badly, but it looks like they've got some staying power this year, and they've taken benefit of having that right farm system and really have went to Indianapolis to promote players that have really helped them. When you think of the pitchers, Jeff Locke and Garrett Cole, the rookie this year that they promoted in the summer, earlier this summer, and then they're also taking advantage of Josh Harrison, had a big clutch ninth inning home run to win a game for him earlier this week. And just the talent flow that has made its way up from Indianapolis and trickled to Pittsburgh. You can see why they're winning, and they've really built a solid foundation. The bad thing from a minor league perspective is for Indianapolis, a lot of those players have went in mid-season. The last couple of seasons, Starling Marte, of course, can't neglect to mention him. And it's kind of hurt the Indians down the stretch. But that's kind of the byproduct of having a minor league system. That's what it's there for, to help the major league team, and you have those affiliations. So I guess you enjoy it while you can, watching them in front of you at Victory Field in Indianapolis, and then can appreciate the progress and when they do well at the major league level as well.
Well, you know, we were just talking with Mark Timmons, and one of the things Mark pointed out is that the Pirates just don't have the culture of winning, and they really – he thinks they're going to run out of gas. Let me ask you this. Realistically speaking, do you think the Pirates will make it to the World Series? Do you think they'll make it to the at least the NLCS? Do you think that they have a history of – losing, so that's become their culture, so that isn't, winning is not their mindset. I believe, and whether it's the Pirates or whoever, that the only way to create a mindset of winning is to win. And the more you win, the more you have that mindset that you have the ability to win. So I believe that the Pirates have enough gas to at least get to the NLCS. Obviously, the Dodgers are hot right now, and the Cardinals are just three games back. So there's a lot of other moving parts. But just on pure momentum, I think – if that's enough gas to push the Pirates on into the NLCS.
Yeah, I see both sides of it, but I tend to agree with you, Tom. I think they're in it for the long haul. I think they'll win the Central Division. St. Louis has stumbled a little bit here recently, and then Shelby Miller with the injury last night. We'll see how that plays out, but I do think that the Pirates are the class of that division. I wouldn't rule completely the Reds out, but I don't think that they're consistent enough. I think their best chance is maybe that second wild card team, with St. Louis being the first wild card team. And I see a National League Championship Series between, I'm going to say, you know, I know the Braves are hot right now, but I would kind of envision maybe Pittsburgh and the Dodgers playing for the National League division title. Now, what happens beyond that, I'm not sure. I think it would be a heck of a story for Pittsburgh after all those losing seasons to come back and advance to the World Series. But they have a very talented ball club. And the other thing is, I kind of go by a seat of my pants gut instinct. And when you see teams win games like the Pirates have and a number of last at-bats as they have this season, I think you just think, maybe this is their year to kind of snap out of that funk. So I wouldn't be done if that was the case, but I do think that they'll make it to the championship series at least.
Well, absolutely. So let me ask you this. As you talk about the minor league contribution from the Indianapolis Indians, and I know you're out there at Victory Field covering that game right now, but you talk about the contribution that they've made. Who's been most impressive that you've seen come up from the leagues, the minor league recently, get the call up to the Pittsburgh Pirates and make an impact on that team?
Well, it was Starling Marte last year. He was the highly touted center fielder that really blazed on the scene in Indianapolis last year, five-tool player, got called up in either late June, early July 2012, and really has not skipped a beat since joining the Major League club. I think he has future All-Star written all over him. He's the most impressive physically. But since you asked that question, kind of an interesting observation. Gerrit Cole, who was promoted earlier this summer, Pirates' highly touted rookie pitcher, actually did not pitch very well in Indianapolis. He was okay, but he didn't set the world on fire. I don't know what kind of changes he made or the Pirates coaches worked with him on as far as the pitching staff, but he has really changed it around and been not a dominant pitcher, but he's been nearly unbeatable at the major league level since he came up. So I'm kind of interested to see how he fares the rest of the season, if he can maintain that consistency. Jeff Locke was a guy, another pitcher, who had a strong season last year in Indianapolis and was really fighting for a roster spot at the major league level entering spring training. Had an outstanding spring, made the club kind of as the fifth starter, if you will, and every time they gave him the ball, he performed enough that he made the All-Star team, although he wasn't able to pitch. He got scratched due to a minor injury, but he's pitched consistently and well all throughout. So those are three guys that kind of jump off the radar at me that have been impressive and have had a big hand in Pittsburgh's winning to date.
Right, absolutely. Well, Jeff Kurtz out at Victory Field. Obviously, we want to talk a little bit about the Indianapolis Indians right now against the Toledo Mud Hens. Obviously, always play the Toledo Mud Hens very, very, very good, I guess. But the Mud Hens have not been having the season. They're obviously 15 games back from the Indians. So the Indians win or lose isn't going to affect their season at all. But the red-hot Indianapolis Indians, obviously 36-26 at home and 31-27 away, and they're on a one-game winning streak right now going into this game against the Toledo Mud Hens. What are you seeing out there tonight?
Well, it's scoreless after two innings. I ducked in so I could talk with you, but a scoreless battle. It's kind of a unique series. So two games here in Indianapolis at Victory Field. Then they go to Toledo, try saying that three times fast, for a couple games. The Indians really, I can remember talking with you, Tom, I think it was in late June, and the Indians were just having an outstanding, posting an outstanding record. They have really scuffled a bit since we last spoke, and July was not a good month for them. They just concluded a homestand, and you just gave their home record, and they're usually a very good home team, but they were 3-8 on the recent 11-game homestand that ended Monday night and really faltered against teams that they should be able to beat, and it's kind of a reflection of a lot of personnel changes. So, again, they've had players be promoted, which is a good thing, up to Pittsburgh, but in their place, they really haven't been able to maintain that talent or the depth, and their pitching staff has really faltered, especially in the bullpen. They've given up some late leads in the eighth and ninth innings when they had the lead and blew it. And they've also lost to some teams that they should not have lost to when after the International League All-Star break, which was at the same time as the Major League All-Star break, they went to Gwinnett, a very poor team, and they lost 3 out of 4 games down there. And it seems like it's just been kind of a downward slide since then. They really needed that win last night at Louisville. They got it. They finally got some offense. That's the other thing. Besides the bullpen, the offense has really hit a slump here. And, again, that's a byproduct of some players moving up to Pittsburgh. And in their place, just guys that are really your triple-A journeymen and have not been able to maintain that same talent level and consistency. And be kind of interesting to see a seven-game advantage in the International League West right now over second-place Louisville. I don't think they're in danger of letting that slip away. That would be a massive collapse. But I don't really foresee a long postseason run either. I just don't think that that they have the depth all across the board in their starting nine or in their pitching staff to go deep. Now, you can always be surprised. Short series stuff happens. But it just seems like not enough offense and the pitching's real inconsistent. The one thing that is kind of a positive is one of the Pirates' top prospects, and we talk about that farm feeder system and really developing talent and depth and being able to have those guys be promoted to the major league roster. One of the top pitching prospects for Pittsburgh, the number one pitching prospect, and I think he's rated maybe 19 or 20 in all of minor league baseball, Jameson Taillon made his debut in Indianapolis on Monday night, pitched against Louisville, gave up three runs the first inning, so he was kind of shaky there, but didn't really settle down after the fact. I think he went five or six innings and pitched pretty well, held his own at least. It's going to be interesting to see how he performs down the stretch. They really need a lift from somebody like that to complement Chris Johnson, who is their International League All-Star pitcher and really their most consistent man on the mound. Are you there, Tom?
Hey, I am here. I'm sorry. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I apologize. My mic wasn't on, sir. I was just jabbing away. You know, that happens sometimes. But, no, I said one of the players that I'm impressed by and continue to be impressed by is Mr. Matt Haig. Obviously talking about the Louisville Bats game, three hits and three RBIs for the Indians, while starter Chris Johnson gave up on eight runs over eight innings for his 10th win. And, of course, the Bats' lone run came on Dennis Phipps' solo homer in the fourth. So Matt Haig is a very, very valuable asset to the Indianapolis Indians right now.
Yeah, he certainly is. He's their offensive MVP. This is his third season in Indianapolis. So he's been around. He did have a cup of coffee with the Pirates the last two seasons, but he's been the mainstay from an offensive standpoint, and they need him to be consistent. He's played mostly first base, but he has went over to third base where he originally came up at so that they could get another veteran infielder, Russ Kanzler, into the lineup. Kanzler's a guy that some of the listeners may recognize as kind of kicking around the major leagues and being in camps over the past couple seasons. But Matt Haig, they call him the hit collector. He had a long hitting streak that ended last night, actually, in Louisville. But he's their most consistent offensive performer by far. The other thing, Tom, I think is kind of interesting, and I know we're not talking major league, but as
sure.
We saw the Louisville Bats in town over the weekend, it was interesting that the Reds had two players rehabbing, Ryan Ludwig, who was hurt on opening day, and I think he separated his shoulder, if I'm not mistaken. And they also had pitcher Jonathan Broxton, a reliever, who were in Louisville. Broxton actually started. He's a reliever, but he started a game. He only pitched an inning, and then he gave way to another pitcher. Ludwig has struggled. He's been with the Bats for about a week now, and I think until last night, he was working on an O for about 20 skid. Now, that's not always reflective. In fairness to him, he's missed basically the season to date, and this is really his spring training, but he looked very rusty. The other guy that was kind of interesting, Billy Hamilton, who's the prize prospect, center fielder, speedy. You know, he leads off for Louisville. He played in three of the four games at Victory Field, but I've got to tell you, and the rap on him is, he's got all kinds of speed, but his on-base percentage is very low. and he's really going to have to become a more consistent hitter and find his way on base. Even the balls he hit are really tampers, or maybe he'll take advantage of his speed and beat out an infield roller, but he's really not he's got to get better at the plate. He's just not much of a hitter, and it's hard to see him at succeeding at the major league level, at least from what I've seen him, without becoming more consistent hitter.
Absolutely. Well, certainly we look at what we would think, logically speaking, as far as, you know, who could win the International League. Obviously, the Indians are right there. But also the Rochester Red Wings obviously have a four-game lead out there at the International League North up against the Pawtucket Red Sox. Obviously, is talking about the feeder system. Look at how well the Boston Red Sox are doing, and you look at the Pawtucket Red Sox, how they've been able to feed some key players into the Red Sox.
Yeah, they've had a nice minor league system for the last several years, and obviously it's starting to pay some dividends again. They stumbled a little bit at the major league level last season, but they're seeing some top prospects, and that's always a pretty solid ball club. That's a real competitive International League North division, so it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. If you were to ask me, I think the class of the league might be Durham. They are over 70 wins. I think they've won 72 or 73 games, and every time I look at a box score, they win again. Just having a banner season. But, yeah, you're right. Mostly the teams that do well at the major league level, the way to build teams, and it doesn't matter what sport we're talking about, whether it's baseball, football, or basketball, especially in baseball and football, you need to have those young players that are rising up through the ranks or gaining some experience. In football, it might be on special teams 1 year, and then the guy, you know, really develops and has an opportunity a second or third year. In baseball, you're looking for making sound draft choices, investing in your scouting system, and then really seeing those players develop and grow. Some come along faster than others, and every once in a while you get lucky and stumble onto a can't-miss guy. But by and large, if you have a strong minor league system, then that's going to be evidenced by both the play on the field and then how those players grow and develop and contribute to the major league teams as well.
Well, absolutely. And Mark, we're talking with Jeff Kurtz, I apologize, out at Victory Field right now, covering the Indianapolis Indians. Obviously, red hot. Great season they're having this year. And I have not been able to get to as many games as I'd like with so much going on with the show and, you know, everything else. But I hope to get out there this season. Victory Field, obviously, one of the most beautiful fields in minor league, if not the best minor league. Of course, I'm a little biased, I guess, but I think that they have a great field out there. Jeff Kurtz, real quickly, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, and is there anything you'd like to share with us that we haven't talked about or anything like that? Because we certainly want to give you the open opportunity to talk about anything you're working on now. Not necessarily baseball. I know you got a lot with college football and stuff. We're going to have you on over on The Balance in the near future as we get into the college football world to talk some college football. But what are you working on now, and where can people find your work and follow you and so forth?
Well, I appreciate you asking. I cover both the Indianapolis Indians and Indiana University Athletics, primarily football and basketball, but we did some stuff for baseball, too, with the Hoosiers' run to the College World Series. I cover the Indians and IU for Examiner.com, so Examiner.com. Look for Jeff Kurtz, and you'll find my articles. I'm all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, going to be on Instagram as well. I have a Chicago Bears website, BearsClawsFootball.com, and you mentioned The Slant. That's our NFL draft guide that we are actually doing some work on as we speak. Going to launch a revised website very, very soon, over the next week sometime. It's starting to do some preliminary work on the draft. So college football right ahead, and along with the NFL, certainly those prospects as we talk about who are the future players. You start to see those emerge in the college ranks, and and guys that are both well-known and then kind of under the radar. The other thing real quickly, you mentioned Victory Field. You better hurry up, Tom. We're heading into the final stretch of the season here. Indians have a couple of nice home stands before the end of the year. The season wraps up over a Labor Day weekend, and hopefully, and it looks to be the case at this point, they'll be in the playoffs as well and have a couple of games at least at Victory Field. But I was, during my vacation, I went up to Parkview Field, the home of the Midwest League Class A Fort Wayne Tin Cans. If any of your listeners are within the vicinity of Fort Wayne, it's a quick drive if you're in Indianapolis, any place in Indiana, really. That is well worth it. I have to say, I love Victory Field, but if I didn't know better, when you first walk in Parkview Field, you'll ask yourself, is this a minor league stadium? It's beautiful. There are so many unique touches and features that they have done with that ballpark. I was lucky enough to get a kind of behind-the-scenes tour from one of their front office people, and just absolutely, it's a real gem, and it's a great experience to watch a game there. So I would heartily endorse, if you have a chance before the end of the year, you're around Fort Wayne, taking a Tin Caps game. They do it very well, and it's just a real nice setting.
Well, absolutely, and you know, certainly I'm glad that you mentioned that, because all of our listeners on Indiana Talk, who runs our Encore show, is based up there in the Fort Wayne area. Of course, they cover everything from northern Indiana all the way to southern Indiana, but they're based in the Fort Wayne, Indiana area. So certainly, yes, get out there to the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, and certainly I wish that we had more time to talk about the Fort Wayne Tin Caps in Double A baseball, because it's certainly well worth it. And you know, I couldn't agree with you more. Real quick, we got about 1 minute for your thoughts on this. A-Rod, should he go away?
I wish he would. I don't even need a minute for that, Tom. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about Alex Rodriguez and steroids and PEDs. I just think the guy is a total fraud as both a person and a player, and I'm not sure why he won't just accept his punishment and go away. I guess it takes a lot of stones to kind of say all he cares about is getting back to baseball, blah, blah, blah. I've really had it, and I wish that baseball would just go ahead and impose that lifetime ban, bug daily, show that he has some backbone, best interest in baseball, and be done with it.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you more, and I think it's despicable that they let him play during his appellate process, but we move on, and he's doing nothing but bringing the good name of baseball down. Jeff Kurtz, a pleasure to have you on board. We're going to have you on the balance again soon to talk some college football, certainly in the very near future, to be talking some IU football as well.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on. Take care now.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Kurtz, love having him on, one of our favorite guests. He's out at Victory Field covering the Indianapolis Indians, and certainly enjoy having him on, obviously the author of The Slant, the 2013 NFL Draft Guide, and we use that a lot on the show. I have a copy of it myself. I'd encourage you to get a copy as well. Well, my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Want to thank all of our friends out of Indiana Talks for listening to us for the last hour. Also on Blog Talk Radio, our facilitator on Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we bring you The Balance, and we'll be talking everything from racing to college football to the NFL, and a lot of NFL this week. Because why? Because the Colts are in camp. That's why. And, of course, we're going to be talking a lot of other NFL teams. Ed Kratz, a beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, is going to join us. So make sure that you're with us on Saturday morning right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis. So glad that you guys could join us on another great episode of The Hot Corner. I'm out of here. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. We'll talk to you again soon, right here on the Balance Radio Network, actually Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Be there, or as they say, be there or be square.
got a treat for you. A sneak preview of the new three-act Broadway musical being written and directed by Yankee slugger Alex Rodriguez.
If it's...
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.